We've been in a study of the Holy Spirit for some weeks now. And we've entered in now to what's connected to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things that we've been talking about here is that, you know, naturally, you know, whenever I teach on the Holy Spirit, I usually go right into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It seems like that's the natural flow. But the Lord really instructed me this time and said, you know what? In order for us to operate in the gifts of the Spirit decently and in order, to do it with the right motivation, that we would do it in love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and when we do it in the proper way, then people are blessed. But if we don't understand the fruit of the Spirit, then we can be self-motivated in when we get into talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We start having people operate in prophecy, and instead of doing it out of love and receiving from the Spirit concerning that, they'll use it to rebuke somebody for their own selfish gain, or to elevate themselves. You know, I'm going to operate in gifts so that people think that I'm super spiritual and I'm really something. And that's not the motivation for operating in spiritual gifts. To operate in the gifts of the Spirit is the Spirit of God wanting to work through you to minister to others. Edification, exhortation, comfort, not beating you up. That's not God's heart. So God wants us to operate with the proper motivation and the proper spirit. So if we don't operate in the fruit of the Spirit, if we're not already walking in that, then when we go to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, then we're not going to have the proper motivation. And then we might be self-promoting, we might get ourselves in trouble and hurt other people. So what we're going to study and what we've been studying now, this is the second week, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And what is that? What is the fruit of the Spirit? You know, that's not talked about as much as the gifts of the Spirit, because we like the supernatural. We want to see the wow, woo! We want to see the whiz-bang! But we need to work within us. What we have to understand is what's down on the inside of us is the fruit of the Spirit, and it's the character traits of God. And He wants us to emulate that in our walk, so that we look like Him in our day-to-day walk. When we have the heart of God and it looks like the fruit of the Spirit, that's what the heart of God looks like. When we operate that way, then when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, we'll do it in love. We'll want the betterment of other people. We're not looking to elevate ourselves. And so it's important that we understand what is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, last week we talked about sanctification. We talked about who we are in Christ. In fact, let's go ahead. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. This is our foundational scripture here. Galatians 5:16. We'll start here. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, or the fruit of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have oft told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ are crucified to the flesh, which is with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. You know, even the term there says, if you live in the Spirit, you shall also walk in the Spirit. You know, we talked about that we are born again. in John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit, that which is physical, that which is spiritual. So when you were born from your mom and dad, you did not come out of cow. I don't think anybody's mooing here. You came out a human being, didn't you? Whatever your mom and dad was, that's what is reproduced. So when you're born of the Spirit, then you are of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Let that sink in now. Orange trees produce lemons. See, none of this is hard until we get to the talking about spiritual things. But Jesus made it just as plain and just as easy for us to understand. That which is born of the Spirit of God is spirit, and that's what you've become. So everything that God is concerning His character and the traits and everything that He has, that's what you are. And what does that look like? The fruit of the Spirit. These are the traits and the characters of God. And you inherited them from He whom you've been born from, and that is the Holy Spirit. That's what being born again of the Spirit means. So you are a reborn, recreated spirit, born of the Spirit of God, and you have the character traits of God on the inside of you. Now there's a lot of us that go, well, it sure doesn't look like that to me. I mean, I feel like I'm the same old person I was before I got born again. I mean, I still got bad thoughts. I'm still messing up. I still got this problem. I still got that problem. I still got attitude, you know, going. Well, because what we're going to find out here is that the sanctification that you've become also is the holiness. Part of sanctification is holiness, and that has to be worked out of you. See, you don't become holy in order to be saved. You're saved, and because you're saved, then now you're going to start walking out holiness in your life. And this is what we're going to be talking about today, about holiness. And holiness is the fruit of your sanctification, of your born-again state, which is eternal. So as we work these things that are on the inside of us, many of us don't even know that we've got that on the inside of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We don't have those qualities on the inside of us. But they're in there. And we need to, with cooperation with the Holy Spirit, working with the Holy Spirit, work them out of us. So that what we are isn't just here, it's out here. And then now we're walking in the Spirit. So we can live in the Spirit, but we need to walk out the Spirit. Amen. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. That's what we're after. I'll tell you, the benefits of it are amazing. The more important, more important than operating in the gifts of the Spirit, we need to do them in the motivation of the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:2. We looked at this last week, but just as a really quick review so we can slip into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. You know, there's a lot of people that think that, well, now if I have to work on my character, if I got to work on improving myself and to walk in more love and walk in more joy and more peace and manifest. Well, isn't that a work? I mean, I thought this was by grace. Well, your salvation is by grace. You are born again. But these other character traits is going to take time. A renewing of the mind. The putting the flesh on the altar of sacrifice. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But it has everything to do with you manifesting Christ into the earth. And if that's where we're walking, if that's where we're at, then when we do what the Spirit calls us to do, we'll do it in the proper motivation. We'll do it with His love and His joy and His peace and His long-suffering towards people, rather than being self-promotion. Even the Spirit himself did not promote himself when he was on the earth in Jesus. He represented the Father. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Secathenus, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Notice that we are sanctified. It's already an established fact. That's something that's already established. And I want you to note here that in 1 Corinthians, if you've ever read it all the way through and just really analyzed the things that Paul said in 1 Corinthians, this whole letter is about correcting them in all kinds of goofy stuff they were doing. I mean, they were messing around with spiritual gifts wrong. They were not doing communion right. I mean, they were taking advantage of each other. They were on the verge of church splitting and all kinds of stuff. And yet he still called them the sanctified. You are sanctified. And so their actions and the things that they were dealing with and they were struggling with had nothing to do with their salvation. They were still saved. They still had a relationship with God. So as we get into the fruit of the Spirit, as we start talking about these different aspects, some people might go, man, I feel condemnation. Well, that's the devil. Kick him out. If you feel something on the inside of you saying, yeah, you know, you need to pursue this, that's the Holy Spirit. That's called conviction. That's okay. You can follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit and let Him lead you. But if it's condemnation, what's the difference? Condemnation is condemning you to the place where you're like going, well, I guess God doesn't like me. It causes you to back away from God. It causes you to go, oh, like John falling down on the ground. Oh, no, I'm not worthy. That's condemnation. That's the devil. You rebuke that and get it out. Conviction draws you to God. It says, praise God, I see an area here that I can be a better child. I mean, I can walk better. I can be of a better service to my King. I can reach out to people more effectively. God, thank you for showing this to me. That's conviction. We got to know the difference and discern the difference in that. Amen. So, those who are sanctified in Christ. So, you are already sanctified. Go to Hebrews 10:9. Hebrews 10:9 says, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Now this is his will, O God. He takes away the first, or the old covenant of animal sacrifices, that he may establish the second, which is Christ and he crucified. By that will, we have been sanctified. We have been already, past tense, sanctified. That is an already accomplished deal, isn't it? So when we talk about holiness, we're not talking about you're trying to earn your salvation by acting a certain way. We're talking about what you already are being worked out to the outside. All right? That's where we're at. The word for sanctified or holy is hagiasmus, means purification or the state of purity. And this word is interchangeable. 5 times in the New Testament, it was used, translated holiness. And 5 times in the New Testament, it was translated sanctification. So depending on how the word was used in a sentence or what connotation it was used, the translators either used it as holiness or they translated sanctification. But notice it's the same word, holiness and sanctification. So what you are in Christ is sanctified and holy. But sanctification is what you are, and holiness is what you do. And yet it's all the same word. Sanctification, the state of the state God makes you when you are born again, separated unto Him. That's what you are. The definition for holiness is the character and conduct of those who have experienced salvation or sanctification by which the life of Christ is worked out of them. So see, just be, you know, if we're born again, recreated spirits and sanctified, it isn't just enough just to set on that here. We want to project it out here. And this is purpose, one of the major purposes for the Holy Spirit being given to us, so that we can work with Him to get those character traits out here. Amen? That's where we're at. We're going to talk about holiness. We talked about John 3:6. What is born of, from the flesh is flesh, of the physical is physical, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, do not be surprised or astonished at my telling you. You must all be born anew from above. Man. So flesh produces flesh, spirit produces spirit, born of the Spirit is spirit. All things produced after its kind. Oranges produce oranges. Dogs produce dogs. People produce people. And spirit produces spirit. And that's what you are, a reborn, recreated spirit in God's image. So, whatever the Holy Spirit is, you were born just like Him. If the Holy Spirit has these nine characteristic traits in Galatians 5:22 and 23, then we have those. We inherited them from God. And Jesus was the perfect display of operating in all those gifts. Man. You have joy even if you don't feel like you have it. You walk in the Spirit. That's who and what you are. We are not in the flesh. Need to be a spirit-minded and so that we can have victory in this earth. We must be not allowing this physical plane of existence to dominate us, but we must be thinking spiritual. This is our home up here. Amen. We're just sojourners on this earth. Our home is already in heaven. We're just what Paul called ambassadors to this world down here. We're already residents of heaven. And that's where we should be walking. That's what we should be mindful of. That's what we should be paying our attention to and developing in our lives. Amen. Okay, let's go to John chapter 15. Let's go to John 15. What's the key to walking in holiness? What's the key to walking successfully in the fruit of the Spirit? John 15:1. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Notice that you are already clean. Clean is the pruning. The word of God is what prunes us. Not sickness and disease. Not poverty. Not all of those things that beat us up. God does not lead us around by whacking us with a stick. It's by His word that He prunes us. So as we get into His word, we find out what it is. How can we look more like Him all the time? And we do this through the Word and having an intimate relationship with God. Intimacy. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We must bear fruit. And we do that by staying connected to God. You know, who you hang around is what you become, isn't it? I know that you know, I have really no interest in riding motorcycles or any of that kind of stuff. But how many, if I hung out with bikers, how long would it be before I'm buying a motorcycle? Yeah, it'll happen. I had no interest in playing golf when I was a kid until my next door neighbor had an interest in playing golf. And so there was a golf course across the freeway. And so he says, well, why don't you come over and play some golf? And so I don't even know what a club is. I mean, I have not a clue what's going on, you know. I'll tell you what, I got into it. And then I started having more friends that played golf. And next thing you know, I'm a golfer. I was on the golf team in high school and lettered in it. When I got to, went into the military afterwards, I played golf, you know, at least 3 times a week. Lived in Vegas, you can do that. It was, even was a member of a country club. I was so into it. Why? Because I had almost all my friends were golfers. You are what you hang around. But you know what? After I left there and got transferred to La Junta, there was no golfers but me. I never played golf since then. I haven't played golf since. I went from fanatical golfer to what's golf? I don't have time for it. I got other things to do. What you and who you hang around is what you become. And Jesus, that's what Jesus is saying here. If you hang out with me, plug into me, you will be like me. Huh? And the Holy Spirit is in there to help you be like Him. You already are in the Spirit, but your actions will start to come out of you. As you spend time with Him, you'll begin to look just like Him. That's awesome, isn't it? So let's look at Matthew 7 now. For more evidence of this, let's see. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 15. This is very interesting. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. Many of us want to be known by our gifts. Jesus is saying, I want you to be known by your fruit. Many of us want to be known by, I got the healing touch. I've got the prophetic word. And Jesus says, no. I want you to be known by your fruit. By how loving you are with one another. How much you lift each other. How patient you are with one another. Demonstrating that even to into a world that's impatient and unloving and unloving. That's what you're going to be known for. You know, the early church was known for that. I mean, they demonstrated a characteristics in them that caused them to jump out of the grandstands when Christians were being persecuted, that they took the persecution with so much grace and so much love and so much adoration for God as they were burning at the stake, that they would jump out of the grandstands and go, I want that. Let me be next. I want that. And if it means that I got to die, then that's how hungry the people were back in those days. When Jesus came, it was the perfect time. The Gentile world was so hungry for God that they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gods that they were dissatisfied with. But they saw the fruit of these people, the love and the adoration they had for God and for other people, that's what caused the church to grow. It wasn't all the wisdom. Now the miracles and whatnot got their attention. But what got them saved, what got them to want to be part of the church was, this is a loving body. The world's not like this. This is different. They were like a light on a hill, like a city and a light on a hill. They were like salt. They were savory. They were beautiful people. I want to be a part of that. They didn't need radio and TV and bumper stickers and internet and all that to spread the gospel. They just were the gospel. And man, I tell you, people, it was easy to get people saved. Amen. And so Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit, verse 16. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. You're a good tree. You got good fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Fruit is in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But you're a good tree. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now look, he goes on to say, right after he says that, he says this now in verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven, or bears fruit. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. What's he saying there? That there are people that are not born again that will manifest seemingly the things of God. And if we're going to identify with people by these gifts and this wow whiz band thing and this lightning coming from down from heaven, and in fact it even says, Jesus even said that in the latter days that there'll be so much deception that even the very elect could be deceived. So we don't judge people by their gifts or by the whiz-bang, wow-wee stuff. We do it by the fruit that a person bears. So what's more important here? I'm not saying that you don't operate in spiritual gifts. Yes, we need to. But we need to do it in the fruit of the Spirit. Nod your head and look real spiritual. I'm getting this. I'm stressing this so that as we get in the fruit of the Spirit, our hearts will burn to walk in these different fruits. Because if our heart burns to walk like our Father, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and to manifest these things, it's not going to be hard for you to demonstrate the gospel to people. In the workplace, people will go, there's something different about you. All of us are griping and complaining because things aren't going real good, and you're just in total peace here. What is that? When people come against you, and they're not being very lovey-dovey to you, but yet you love them back, and you don't get rattled, and you don't say, you know, snap back at them, and then gossip about them later. But instead, you just have grace. You just have patience with them. People, you're going to stand out. People go, what? I remember I was in a print shop, and believe me, I'm working on this myself. I'm not saying I've arrived. I got a long way to go. But I was in a print shop, and boy, I tell you what, I was making plates for a press, and the pressman kept coming in, and he was just not having a good day. I mean, he was griping and complaining and yelling at people and causing all kinds of turmoil and whatnot. And for some reason, I was his target that day. And so he comes in and he's yelling and screaming and carrying on and all this kind of stuff. And he says, you're this and you're that and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, makes a big old scene in the whole department. And as I go to walk out the door, I just turn to him and says, you're probably right. I'm probably all of those things. And then I just turned and walked out. And as I'm walking out, I can hear everybody behind me going, leave him alone. You better leave him alone. He's a good guy. And you know what? By the end of the day, he came to me and apologized. And we ended up becoming friends. I mean, we ended up going out and doing things together and all that. Troy. Man, I mean, he was an awesome guy. But because I didn't snap back at him, because I didn't say, well, let me tell you what I think of you, bud. It caused him now to warm up to me and say, wow, I didn't expect a response like that. I'm used to everybody else snapping back. See, these are the things that as you develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you'll be able to have patience with people. Instead of when somebody cuts you off going, what is the problem with that person? Instead of that, you'll go, they must be having a bad day or their mind's off someplace else. And you take no offense to it whatsoever. And there's some people in this room like going, what? You can do that? You cannot get upset with, I've got a right to be upset when somebody violates my space. So Jesus is illustrating here, just because people are operating in what seemingly is spiritual gifts and they're doing all this spiritual stuff and all that kind of stuff, that doesn't make them spiritual. What makes them spiritual is the fruit that they bear. So I would say this is a pretty important subject, isn't it? Let's go to John 17. John 17, 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. How do they believe that Jesus was sent? By the unity that we have with the Father and with Jesus. That we're one. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. It's relationship with God. This is what makes it, we're not trying to force this thing to happen. Have an intimate relationship with God and be in His Word, and the fruit will manifest. We make it so hard, and it's really quite simple. Just having that intimacy with God and being in His Word will cause us to bear fruit. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, 12. Philippians 2, 12. Listen to what Paul says here. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Did you catch that? He's saying, you're already saved, but work it out. Get it out. Get that salvation out here. And do it with fear and trembling. And we'll get a definition of that here coming up. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good will. Notice it's the God's work in you that causes it. But you're going to have to cooperate. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to be attentive to the Spirit of God. You're going to have to want to walk in the Spirit. You're going to want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And God is there to work it out of you, to work with you in partnership. Let's put it on the Amplified now. Because, boy, the Amplified really, really highlights this. Philippians 2:12, the Amplified. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Notice that it's not by your power, but by His power that He's doing this, and that He wants us to walk in this. He wants us to cultivate that. Notice that He says here, He says, we work out that salvation, get it on the outside with reverence and awe. This should be something that is very important to our lives, to do this. With reverence and with awe, we want to work out our salvation. Take that which who we are in Christ and demonstrate it out here to a dying world and to our brothers and sisters. Amen. This is the will of God. This is the desire of God for us. Not to get saved, but because we are saved. And notice it's He that is energizing and creating in you the power and desire to do it. So intimacy with God is everything in this. Because you're going to be who you hang around. Amen. So working out what is already in you. Notice in Ephesians 4:24 in the Amplified, and put on. When you put something on, it's something you put on the outside, like a jacket. When you put on a jacket, it's something on the outside, isn't it? He said, I want you to put on the outside the new nature, the regenerated self, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see it there? He wants us to take what's on the inside of us and put it on the outside and demonstrate it to this world, doesn't He? Wow. And that's always been His plan. That's good, isn't it? In fact, go on over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So notice he says that salvation is by grace through faith and not of works. And then turns right around in the next verse and says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So he's talking about two different things here, isn't he? He's talking about the good work that was done in you in your salvation, that you were created in that. But now let's take that good work and bring it on the outside. You were created unto good works. Did you hear? Are you seeing what he's saying there? Man, that's good. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. Wow. So who we are, what we were created in Christ, we are also created to walk in on the outside. Praise God. Well, if that's true, then that means that we have ability. We have the ability to do it, don't we? It's in us. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us. So we can accomplish this, can't we? And I'm here to tell you, the more that you massage this, the more that you work on this, the more that you get this fruit from the inside out, you're going to start affecting people. You'll start becoming a magnet to people. Man, you are positive when the rest of everybody else is negative. And I'm telling you, our world is getting more negative all the time, isn't it? We need to be a bigger and bigger contrast to the world. And I just really believe that as things get worse and worse and worse out there, there are going to be people crying for something else, and we better be the lighthouse on the hill. We better be the beacon that they see. And all we're doing is bearing fruit to get there. We don't have to send up flares. We don't have to make a loud booming voice about it. You just walk this out, and I promise you, you're going to be so different that they're going to be attracted to you. To walk in the fruit of the Spirit is going to make you look so different from the rest of the world that people, total strangers, will look at you and go, what do you got? What is that? What do you have to be joyful about? I got Jesus. They'll come to you for counseling. They'll come to you when they have trouble. And then you'll be able to share the word with them and share Jesus with them. Say, hey man, the answers to your problem is Jesus. Not a psychiatrist. I don't know if there's any psychiatrist in here. Am I getting in trouble here? They have one of the highest suicide rates of all the professions. All right. Enough said about that. Romans chapter 8 in finishing. I think. We're doing good. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Here Paul is telling the Roman church, he says, you need to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. What's the benefit of walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh? And he gets to verse 14, Romans 8, 14. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You are the sons of God. You are the children of God. We should be led by He whom we are children of. Amen. For the Spirit, and this is the Amplified. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more into bondage of fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship. Do you see that? You were born of the Spirit. You were born to be into the family, born into the family, born into sonship. In the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father, it is blissful to walk in the Spirit. Wow. I tell you, when you step out into and be conscientious of your attitude and the way that you talk and the way you relate to people and how you approach difficult situations, and you become, no, I am not going to just knee-jerk reaction to things. I am going to, like David, I'm going to consult God over the situation. And you know what? Because he did that, he encouraged himself. Then he was able to clearly hear from God. Then he was able to do what God told him to do. And he became victorious in his situation. Is there anybody in here that doesn't want that for their life? Man. It's a blissful state to know that no matter what you're up against, God's with you and He's going to take care of the situation. He's going to give you good direction. He's going to give you good counsel. It's a blissful thing that we cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father that loves us. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit. Notice that we're working together with the Holy Spirit. We're testifying together. Our Spirit and the Holy Spirit working together, testifying together. We're not alone in this, are we? Testifying together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God, that you are in the family. God's taking care of you. God's with you. How many of us would do anything for our kids? Whatever it took. Now, the next door neighbor's kids, not so much. But my kids, they get priority. If I've only got one sucker, my kid gets it, not the neighbor kid. Is that not, that's not loving? Yeah, it is. I'm loving my child. Here you go. This is the way God is with us. You know, Kirsten and I've been discussing this. She knows where I'm going. But there, you know, there's this thing going around to where now, you know, the most important thing to God's heart is getting people saved. And I disagree. I disagree. God's heart is His children first, then the world. I'm here to tell you that's the honest truth. I can show you examples in Scripture all up and down that God favors His kids first. Now, He loves the world. He died for the world. He wants them to come into the kingdom, but you have come into the kingdom. You're the chosen generation. You're the holy nation. You're the favored of God. Now, they can join us, but His priority isn't getting people saved at your expense. He picks you first. And if anybody has a problem with that, I can come on up. I'll show you in Scripture. He picks you first because you picked Him. Amen. And again, I'm not belittling us. We need to be sharing the gospel with the unsaved and get them saved and get them into the kingdom. That is on God's heart. But if we're going to prioritize, and I've heard people, you know, say, oh, no. Evangelism is God's first heart of what He pays attention to and what He... No, that's not true. He doesn't, you're born again. Okay, just stand over there. Now I'm... He's paying earnest attention to you. Anyway. Well, I got off on a rabbit trail, didn't I? So the Spirit Himself does testifies together with our spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. Because what comes with being His child is persecution. But listen to what Paul says in the very next verse. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worthy being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed in us and for us and conferred on us. Ooh. So anything that we suffer now in this life, whether it be for Christ's sake or whatever, man, you know, count it just temporary. It's no big deal. Because what we are in Christ and our relationship with God and everything, that should be the utmost thing that we pay attention to. And you know, when you're doing that, when you're paying attention to your relationship with God and you're gleaning from the Word, what strengthens you is the fruit of the Spirit rises up on the inside of you, and all of a sudden the troubles of this world and the persecutions and everything that you're dealing with become small, little teeny things. Because your relationship with God is so big. And now you're walking in faith. And those, what used to be mountains, become molehills that you just step on and crunch and go right on. Instead of letting them destroy your life. Now, was Paul convinced of this? Closing Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. Is there a benefit to us having intimacy with God and walking in the fruit of the Spirit, developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? And as we get into the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to see how powerful these traits are of God. Because they're what makes God, God. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. Man, are you hanging out with the temporal or are you hanging out with the eternal? Amen. I mean, I think a lot of us have had struggles in our lives trying to get over forgiving other people that have done things to us. And I'm just here to tell you, it ain't worth hanging on to the offense. Let it go. Let it go. It's not that important. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. You know what? They're going right on with their lives. You're not hurting them by holding on to the offense over here and not sleeping at night. You're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting them. Yeah. I mean, I'm here to tell you, when you develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life, people can't get under your skin anymore. Circumstances can't push you and dictate the direction you're going to go in. It doesn't matter your financial state. I mean, I remember Sherris and I, when we first got married and had kids almost like right away. Man, I mean, financially, it was tough. But instead of letting finances, because that's one of the biggest things that causes divorce is finances. Instead of letting finances, or lack of, cause division, we said, you know what, we are a force to be reckoned with. We stand together. And we are prosperous. God has taken care of us. We're the children of God. And I'm telling you, what I brought home didn't add up to the bills, and yet we still had bills paid and money left over. It didn't make any sense. And she's a bookkeeper. So she'd come out chewing her pencil, half, chewing it in half, going, "What is going on here?" But God would just supernaturally bless us. Because we walked depending on God and having a relationship with God and having faith in what He could do and not getting all frustrated with finances and getting frustrated with people and getting and guarding against offense and all of those things. As you walk in those things, then you open the door and God can just pour out a blessing on you. Man. So we're going to be getting into the fruit of the Spirit. Are you excited? We're going to get into the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to be talking about the different fruit. And as we do, we're going to know how, we're going to develop these traits, these God traits, onto the outside. And as we do, we're going to start, as we manifest these things, we're going to start seeing people around us going, "Wow, you're different. You're not the same person." I know when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I got born again in Las Vegas. And then almost 3 months later, I got transferred out down to La Junta, down here in southern Colorado. And so I was a fresh born-again Christian. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I got to La Junta. And there was a lot of guys being transferred to La Junta from Las Vegas that I knew. And as they were being transferred, I would hear that they're coming. And so I would be like a welcoming committee, and I'd go and pick them up at the airport, or I'd greet them or whatever and say, "Come on, let me show you the housing and stuff and the possibilities and all that." And they would always say, "You're not the same Andy. What's going on with you? You're different." I used to be angry, mean. "Don't you dare sit in my chair. There's hell to pay you sit in my chair. Touch my stereo. Oh, you're going to get this." It's hard to believe how I was back in those days. They go, "Man, there's something different about you. You're kind. You're giving. You're even helping me with money. Who is this guy?" And I was able to share Jesus with them. And I was just stepping into this. And man, people were already seeing a difference. I'm telling you, your friends, your family. You may be having problems maybe with your family. Going, "Man, my family just won't receive me. They just don't receive me. I just don't understand why it's a." When you start walking in the fruit of the Spirit, they can't help but see a difference in you. Because they know you better than anybody. So it's really going to contrast for them. And they're going to start thinking. They're going to start going, "Huh, maybe there's something to this Christianity that they're indulging in here." And I shared with you last week about Joyce Meyer and her testimony. How she was raped continuously by her father for years and years and years and years and years. And in the latter days, when they needed help, she gathered them up and she got them a house and she personally nursed and took care of him. The one that would not, you know, did these things to her. Man. And he came to Christ before he died because of that. That's the power of walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Getting that which is on the inside of you out here, manifesting Christ out here. That's the best witness that we can render. We can holler and scream with a microphone about Jesus, but when you're walking it, that's the biggest testimony. That's the biggest way that you can get Christ over to people. That's why we have the fruit of the Spirit available to us. Amen? Man, Father, we just thank you and we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your character traits on the inside of us. That's what we are in the Spirit. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to help us work our salvation out of us, that we don't just huddle behind in our flesh this marvelous Spirit that you have created, but Lord, that we want our spirits to shine out to a dying world, shine out to people. And we thank you that we have the Holy Spirit to help us do this. Thank you, Lord, for that. We give you praise for that. You're so good. We're excited about walking in the deeper things of God, to walk deeper in you like we've never done before. And I know it's going to require us to stretch ourselves, to extend ourselves like we never have before. But you're there with your arms open to help us work through issues in our lives by manifesting the mighty fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. I never assumed that.